Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Psychology of Work, Why People Do What They Do, a podcast exploring the science and stories behind high-cohesion, high-performing teams. My name is Dr. Bobbi Wegner. I'm a lecturer at Harvard in organizational psychology and the founder of Groups. In each episode, we dive into the minds of industry experts to uncover what drives team and individual dynamics, tackle real-world challenges together, and share actionable insights to help teams feel and function their best. Thanks so much for joining, and let's get started. Hi, everyone. I am so excited to be here. Today, we have Matt Masucci, who's a founder of Hirewell Global Talent Solutions. He spent 24-plus years helping high-growth companies, especially in tech and fintech, hire leaders and then build the teams around them. He's a former consultant at Arthur Andersen and Deloitte, and Matt really blends search expertise with a consultative talent advisory model, standing up and scaling in-house recruiting, leading large hiring initiatives, and integrating practical AI tech to make recruiters even better. He also, before all of this, co-founded Holistic, which was really focused on building inclusive, high-performing workforces. He's a member of YPO. He's just a guy who's like in this space that I reached out to because I was so curious about him. He's based in Chicago, and he partners really with founders and executives to move from really just like filling seats, especially as companies are growing, to really designing teams in a thoughtful way so they can deliver better, feel great, and just, you know, have work be an amazing place all around. So Matt, thanks so much for being here. But, you know, what do you want to add here? I'm sure this is not your whole life story. So
no, it's not. But, you know, Bob, you did a great job. And I think you said it, you know, about as good as I could. So thanks. Yeah, no, I you know, the only thing I shudder is the 24 plus years. You know, all it does is make me feel old.
I know.
Been doing a long time and I've seen a lot. And, it, you know, it's still somehow an area and a space that I'm passionate about. So I love talking about it. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. No, that's why I love chatting with you, because like you just know this space, you've been around in it, and you clearly still have like a passion for it. So like what made you jump into this world? You know, like tell us about Hirewell. Like what was the thing that made you do this? And what are the evolutions that you've really like seen over time as you've grown this company? And you've watched other companies grow too, right? As we were discussing, there's sort of like a parallel process. You're building this company that's really scaling and hyper growth, and then you're working with companies in a similar type environment.
Yeah, no, I, you know, like we have a running joke for anybody in recruiting or search, like, you know, nobody grows up wanting to be a recruiter, right? You know, pretty much everybody backs into it. I started in consulting. I was actually an accounting major, realized I was not good at that. Gave me a nice business foundation. I'm happy I did it. But again, I just didn't have the patience or ability to do that. So, you know, the idea was how do we grow and fix an industry that's inherently kind of broken across a lot of different spaces? And it's been a winding journey, right? Like you have these grandiose visions when you start a company, but it takes a lot longer to really get it up to where you want it to be. And you know, it's kind of been a series of evolutions. And you know, there's things you can control and there's things you can't. And you know, unfortunately, the economy and kind of the broader world is such an impact in a business like this. And you know, kind of at the end of the day, we're a people industry, and that also makes it really hard to control. But like you said, I you know, somehow still after all this time, love it, enjoy it. It's you know, it's fun and exciting to partner with great companies to see them grow. It's been a challenge to grow our organization. Like we do a lot of different things. We have a number of different business units. We've grown organically. We've grown through acquisitions. There's been some tremendous challenges. So, you know, I consider myself an entrepreneur, even though it's been one company for 20 years. I feel like there's been about 10 different iterations in kind of things we've grown within the organization. So it's kept me challenged, kept me excited and engaged. So yeah,
that's amazing. The story. Yeah. So what do you notice? So it's like that part of why I just love chatting with you is that, you know, the way I see everything is through human dynamics and psychology. Like how do you bring people together to help them like perform the best, but also feel their best, right? When you get that alignment between the organization and the individual, like everybody benefits, right? And you're really sort of sitting in this position to help companies get that alignment right. So like, what are some of the things that you really, you know, look at? Like if I could get in your brain and you were just like assessing a, you know, company or team.
Yeah, it really depends on the company. We as a whole, you know, our client base is varied. You know, we've got 100 plus recruiters sitting across three continents. So, you know, we've worked with Fortune 50 companies. We've worked with 10 person companies. So it's extremely varied. Some companies are you know, phenomenal at this stuff who get it. I mean, people, you know, at the end of the day are what makes companies successful. It separates the win, you know, the winners from the losers. So great talent is what wins. You know, it starts with a great founding team or, you know, leaders who have a vision, who can execute on it. You know, but ultimately there's challenges along the way. It's people sort of all aspects of it. You know, AI has become the hot topic. You know, I do think it's a little bit more, you know, there's less substance behind it right now. You know what I mean? Like we're not seeing these massive, you know, gains or changes from AI, but it's a huge, huge variable. And it's without a doubt impacting what companies are doing, how they're going about hiring things. You know, I think it's a multi, you know, issue where some of it's AI, but some of it is also just a relentless focus on profitability and efficiency. So there's pressure kind of at all levels to do more with less. And there's this AI backdrop to it all. And you know, and that's challenging. But with, you know, as you said, the psychological aspect of it is that, you know, people at the heart of all this and people have feelings and you know, fears and hopes and dreams and want to be fulfilled in their career. So it's kind of a complex mess.
Yeah, it's like all the human stuff makes it messy, right? And so we're just like in this place of trying to figure this all out. And how, when you think about, like, I'm thinking from your, and I feel this way, I was just saying this to somebody, like with the teams we work with, you know, oftentimes we're just trying to help leaders better understand like what's underneath the hood where teams might not feel comfortable speaking up or something. So we're working with teams, doing a bunch of coaching, doing assessment as we're going, just helping, seeing sort of the dynamics under the surface and helping leaders understand like why it's important. So we end up really just trying to increase alignment between like leadership and understanding, just getting people most in alignment. And it seems to me like you're doing this like at the entry point into the building, so to speak. So like, what are some of the things that you just notice as really critical in getting that right? Like, you know, is it like the values of the company? Is it having great managers who understand what they're looking for? Like, I'm just thinking, you know, like what, how do you even help a company understand?
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of variables. We, you know, we pride ourselves in being, you know, very consultative. And I know it's a cliche that everybody tries to use, but, you know, a lot of people in recruiting or search tend to be transactional by nature. And so like, all right, you take a, you know, an opening, you find a person for it, you move on. And you know, and again, if it's a big company that is a well-oiled machine, it may be as simple as that. But more often than not, when it's early stage companies that are growing, they don't know exactly where they're going. They don't know exactly how to get there. They know that people are the answer, but they also don't have unlimited time or resources. So it gets complex. And you know, a big thing we've coached our people on is you know, it's asking a lot of questions, being curious, understanding, you know, again, what the company, where they're at today, where they're trying to go, how they're going to get there, who, you know, who they need to, you know, to drive the bus and get them there. And, but it's also educating them on what the market is, because we all have these, you know, ideas that, you know, of course we, you know, we love X, Y, and Z, but if you don't have the budget to afford that, or you don't have the kind of the infrastructure to support that, like it gets complex. So it's just understanding. It's like, it's this constant evolving thing. And, you know, and you're also dictated by what the rest of the job market looks like. You know, 4 years ago, the market was booming and companies had to consider a little bit less because every single company in the world was hiring and that's your competition. Like hiring has slowed a bit, so companies can be a little bit more patient and picky, but it's never quite as much as they want or think, you know, like as you read the headlines and you hear, oh, there's, you know, job, you know, like job growth is slowing, or there's actually for the first time in 5 years, there's more job openings than, or there's more people looking for jobs than job openings. Right. But like, there's still this always this mismatch in talent and in resources and kind of alignment. So it makes hiring hard. And you know, so again, like the real question I look at is, you know, has the team that is hiring, have they done this? Do they have a plan? And then do they have the kind of process and you know resources to execute on it? And you know, it doesn't mean like if you don't have all those things, it doesn't mean you can't be successful. But then you need to be a little bit scrappier. You need to find people that fit that culture. So it kind of comes down to finding people who've done it before and know what they're walking into and kind of can, you know, operate in the environment they're gonna be, you know, forced into. Or not forced into, but you know.
Yeah, that you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like It's making me think we work, it's like one of my favorite companies we work with, like incredible people, hyper growth, like so much good going on. Like there's always things about like how they're just growing in all these ways. They also had a really high churn, right? They're just growing so quickly with people all in all different kind of levels within the organization and really trying to figure out how to keep people together. So everything we focus on is like cohesion, right? So it's connectedness of teams. And that's why we bring psychologists to companies, because they're really good at, it's a relational problem, right? How do you get good relationships at work, which is connection and sort of outside of work terms. And then in work terms, it's like cohesion, right? And the cohesion is tied to performance. So that's what we always look at. But anyway, so we were working on like the inside, being like when teams come in or when people get in, how do you either put them in new hire groups so they're building connectivity or cohesion from the get-go? But a big part of the problem was the leaders who were doing the hiring, like the business unit leaders, they didn't really have a clear sense of like how to articulate the mission, vision, values of the company. So they were hiring people based on their own like sense of like, this person's cool, or my brother's sister, you know, my brother's cousin like referred me to this person and I like them. It's like, wait a minute, but you're not matching them against the cultural needs and the business needs. And you're not doing it in a shared way across the organization. Yeah. And this is turning up is like super high churn, which is no good for anybody.
No. And that's super common. I mean, we see it all the time. You know, like there's a series of evolutions that companies go through, right? There's, you know, if it's the true startup, you're going from 0 to 1 and 1 to 10 and then 10 to 100. And it's such a different mindset throughout those times. It's different people that are going to be the ones who can lead you through it. It's pretty rare that you're going to have the same, you know, leaders who, you know, can kind of take you from point A to point B to point C to point D. You know, that's why a lot of founders are great in those 0 to 1 or the, you know, 1 to 10, you know, world. But then they kind of like, they don't love the bureaucracy, the organization, the operational, like, things you need to scale and grow. But yeah, like I said, it's just, unfortunately, it's just a very common, you know, challenge that many companies have, and some figure it out and some don't, unfortunately. So
yeah, I can imagine you, and I think I read this somewhere about you, but it's like, it makes sense that, but you tell me if this is true, that you end up being like a real partner, that you're kind of like the coach on the side being like, listen, you're going through this evolution. It sounds like a big part of your job is educating. Like you've seen this enough times to know what to expect given these like different stages of growth, and then how this shows up in sort of like the hiring, recruiting part of it, and then coaching people around what they can afford, what the market is, and then creating channels to get those people in.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's a cliche, but like data is the you know, the number one tool, and that's the one thing that has, as we've grown and as, you know, like systems and things have improved, it's gotten a lot easier to share things, right? Like, because there's always, you know, whenever somebody's buying something from someone, in this case, they're effectively buying talent from us. There's always like a level of skepticism, like, all right, do I believe this person? Are they just trying to sell you something? And that's, you know, ultimately the hardest part about this, again, because we're also competing in a space where, like every industry, there's some very good people and there's also some very bad ones. And so, you know, people only remember the bad, you know, relationships they have in a space, and that's what they lean on and draw on. But, you know, we lead with data, like, you know, and that kind of having the scope and the number of recruiters we have and the track record, you know, we're able to really lean on different things and show the data. All right, here's what our comp analysis shows. Here's the 10 searches that we've completed in the last 12 months, just like this. Here's what the candidate pools. It's very much showing your work, and it's become a lot easier. You know, we implemented a new CRM and recruiting, you know, software that allows us to really share stuff in real time. And that's powerful because, you know, at the same time, there's also multiple levels that are involved, right? It's very rarely that the CEO of a client of ours is intimately involved in a search. Sure, if it's one of their direct reports, they will be, but more often than not, they're kind of like just like read in at the very end. And again, that's a challenge too, because are they gonna, like, how do we empower our contacts within an organization to convey kind of the relevant information to make sure, because everybody has this fear, like, am I hiring the best person for this role? And, you know, there's always like the hope of a better option out there. And that's what kills a lot of momentum in hiring. Oh, I really like this person, but I think I need to see more people. And, you know, again, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, but if you have the data, well, here, you know, we've messaged 500 people. We spoke to 100, your team has interviewed 15. We whittle it down to a short list of 5. Like, all right. And this is what it looks like. And this is why, like, having that confidence that you're making the right decision. Like, it's no different. I mean, it's no different than any major decision you make in your life. You just want to make sure that you thought it through, you've analyzed other options, and you're moving forward with the best. And that's just half the battle, right? Because then, you know, if you do hire the person, then how you put making sure they're walking into a situation to be set up for success. So that's some of the questions we ask is, all right, what is, you know, what's your plan for onboarding this person? How are you going to ensure they're successful? And again, anytime a hire doesn't work out, everybody wants to point fingers. And yeah, we can always look, did we do something wrong? Did we miss something? You know, we're always going to be our own biggest critic. But at the end of the day, like, what are they walking into? Like, there's, you know, you find out, oh, well, like the role is way different than what they're expecting, or they just couldn't get along with their team, or they're promised this big of a budget and you know, these 3 additional headcounts, and it never materialized. Like, there's just certain times that companies kind of shoot themselves in the foot by not, like, setting up people for success. And that, again, that's where we really try to dig into. And that's where a big evolution for us over the last several years, you know, is this talent advisory work, just, you know, making sure things are going to be set up for success. Because, you know, like, our best, you know, the best thing we can do is, you know, help a company hire a person that stays there for 10 plus years, gets promoted 3 times, and, you know, and eventually becomes, you know, a leader within the organization, because A, they become our biggest advocate, but it also, it shows our ability to impact a company. So we want nothing more than that. Like, and there's always this misconception of, well, if the person leaves, you might get the ability to replace them, but that's, you know, we hate doing the double work, and that's, you know, we'd much rather, again, place the leader, have the company be phenomenally successful, and then help them, you know, build out their team. That's where, you know, and it's fun. We've done that, you know, dozens and dozens of times for some great companies. It's fun to see just how much they've grown, or the companies when they go public, or when they, you know, getting acquired for, you know, crazy amounts of money. It's fun to see. And while we're not a huge part of it, we definitely are a part of it. And that's kind of what's exciting about it.
Yeah. My mind's going in all these different directions. Juan, it sounds like you've taken this really, like, relationship-driven industry, and then putting data behind it through the platform allows you to quantify this in a way, and then probably communicate more effectively and, like, pick up speed in which you operate, because the data is, like, there, which just makes people feel better about decisions, especially if it's a big and expensive one. I'm also thinking, and I was like, oh, I don't know if this is, like, offensive or not, but I was like, there's so many parallels between what you're saying. I'm thinking, like, buying a house when you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I want the big, you know, new kitchen with all the things. And then your real estate person's like, no, you can't afford that, and this is why. And you're like, okay. Like, so just trying to, like, calibrate that in a way, I imagine you that's, like, a big part of your job is trying.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, like the you know, like, the house is typically the biggest purchase anybody's going to make in their life. So it's, you know, it's different. But, like, it's also, there's a lot of similarities where, you know, we've evolved kind of our pricing and how we structure. We've moved to a lot more flat fees, or kind of, you know, like, fixed pricing, where companies know exactly what they're going to pay. They're like, make it clear what they're going to get and what we're going to charge them for it. Because, like, one of the, you know, kind of the misconceptions are, you know, like, you know, stories you'll hear, you know, buying a house is, oh, the person wants you to pay as much as possible, so that makes their commission bigger. Sure. Like, but ultimately they really want the sale, because, you know, it's all right, you could get a $10,000 commission for, you know, selling a house, or you get an $11,000 commission, but they'd much rather have 10 than 0, right? You know, and so do they have your best interest, and are they trying to just get you, put you in any place, or are they trying to jack up the price? Like, there's a lot of different, like, variables to it. But again, if that trust is there, this person understands what's out there, is pushing the right spot. There's similarities. So,
yeah, and, like, I can identify too with, like, what you were saying about, like, you want your teams and your customers to be successful. Like, same with us. Like, you would think that, like, if teams are really sucking, that, like, then they're going to engage with us longer. But then there's going to be a frustration, like, you're not doing what we hired you to do. And so we much rather have, like, teams just, like, thrive and, you know, and we know for us at least that like teams, it's a relationship driven thing, right? So it's like there are times that teams are going to be really connected and working well and high performing, and times that that's not going to happen. And when we can just expect that that's the cadence because we're humans, it's not linear, like, you know, then we're going to be there with a person as long as we're being trustworthy and delivering a good thing. And I imagine it's probably something similar for you. It's like people look to you if you've done good work. So like, why not just do the best work?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we track very closely, like, you know, I think we probably worked with 400 clients this year so far. Right. And it, you know, I would say like a third of them, we've worked with them for multiple years and have helped them hire 5, 10, 20 plus people a year. You know, the way we partner and the way we engage, it can be one-off search. It can be, you know, kind of multi-hired team builds. And oftentimes, like, we'll set up a situation where we effectively become their embedded recruiter. But, you know, a common thing we've done also is really it ends up being all of the above. And then, you know, oftentimes, like, kind of the final, or not final, but one of the key things we'll do is then help them build their own internal team. If that's kind of where they're at as a company, like, all right, great, we've helped you design the process, hire the right people, and then we will help you start build your internal HR team and you know, kind of put you on the path to being, you know, self-sustaining and able to do it on your own. And then, you know, again, it becomes like a, you know, like a you know, a plateau, and then it kind of like the you know, the relationship will slow down, but it, you know, but it never goes away because like that's like our ability to help them in a variety of areas has been a key differentiator.
Yeah, I'm so curious about your business from a business perspective, like things like, or like how far do you go in on the employee, you know, journey? But what I'm really curious about, which I think is interesting, you know, is like, there's like such a parallel process, right? Like you're growing. If you just, someone from an outside, like me looking at your company, you're in your own hyper growth situation trying to figure this out. How big is Hirewell?
So we're a little bit over 100 people. Okay. It's spread across a few different, you know, companies or business units. So yeah. And that's been, you know, the kind of the most humbling thing over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, we've gone through some pretty, we went through some pretty rapid growth in like, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022. As the market was, you know, booming and interest rates were zero and companies were hiring like crazy. And then that slowed down. But as, you know, as we grew, we did some acquisitions, we started to build out our internal team. Like, you know, I found out pretty quickly I was better at helping other companies hire than necessarily doing it for myself. And, you know, and it's like, I do beat myself up a lot when things don't go well. I spend time thinking about what I could have done differently. And you know, it's always very easy in hindsight to say, oh, I should have done this or I could have done that. And you know, again, some of it is just the rate of growth and just, you know, unfortunately, we kind of made some of the same mistakes that some of our clients do. Like, as you just, you think you have the right plan, you think you have the right idea of where you're going, and you're trying to kind of add the right people, but then, you know, things can change quickly and you realize, oh, shoot, this is not what we need, or this is not the ideal role. And you have to adapt. And it's, like I said, it's some of it's been humbling over the last couple of years, but you know, you learn a lot. And you know, like I said, I never, you know, I don't fear making, you know, mistakes or the wrong decisions. You just have to learn quickly and adapt and evolve.
Yeah. Yeah. And it probably allows you to be like build empathy for your clients too. I think last time we chatted, it was like before, I don't even know, sometime in the spring. But anyway, since that point, Harvard has a Institute for Quantitative Social Science, and we got accepted as a faculty-led venture. That basically, it's like an equity-free, they just wrap lots of support around you. And we're building out a much bigger platform to measure cohesion on teams. So like in real time, right? It's like, we can talk offline, but I'm like curious about what you're measuring and what this looks like. But we're like looking at sort of the health and functioning of teams around connectedness and cohesion specifically, and then tying it to business outcomes. Like, so how do you measure this? Anyway, the point is, I was in a workshop yesterday with one of the executive directors, and he was talking about basically how the storytelling of startup really matters, and how, you know, there's this thing in sort of pitch decks that you're like, he was talking about like Tam, Sam, Som, and how Som, you know, you kind of position yourself as like, you're going to go after this market and this is how we're going to get there, and the straight shot. And he's like, that's just the wrong way. And then you kind of overpromise, but the reality is, like all human stuff, you can't, it's nonlinear. So these things are going to pop up. And how do you have a strategy to make good decisions around where you're spending time, and how do you get, you know, either, he sort of had an island metaphor, like you sort of are heading towards this North Star, and then there are these little islands. You want to get to the first island and then the second island, and it's going to be curvy. And I just kept thinking, like, that's just such the human experience. Like, nothing is, any growth is nonlinear.
Right? You know, I say that all the time. I mean, I think one of the things that's made me better, especially when I'm, you know, advising clients, is, you know, like, I will self-share of the challenges we've had, the mistakes we've made, and you know, try to use those to you know, advise others and how to do better. I talk a lot about, you know, success not being linear. And that's the, you know, it's doing something for 24 plus years. I'm very proud of where we've, you know, gotten and the team we've built and kind of what we've been able to do for clients. But there's been some, you know, there's been some great times and there's been some, you know, some really challenging times. And that's the entrepreneurial journey. One thing you said that I, you know, think is extremely vital is that storytelling of startups. And if I had to say, like our number one, you know, superpower, kind of one and two, one is being able to find great talent. But the second, you know, kind of more important and that kind of the underrated thing that I don't think people see the value of sometimes is telling the story of our clients to people, right? Like the best talent and the best people are happily employed somewhere, not really looking, and like they're only going to leave for something that's amazing and truly better, you know, experience than what they have and better, you know, better path. And so, you know, our ability to understand who our clients are, what they're doing, and, you know, again, why someone great should join them is, you know, extremely underrated. I think it's a part that most companies miss. And you know, I talk about that all the time of the importance of it. And it's extremely important because that, you know, like I said, if you, you know, it's one thing to recruit for, you know, Google or OpenAI or, you know, somebody that like everybody's heard of, but if you, nobody's heard of your company, like how do you get them excited about it? And that's what we do well. So.
Oh yeah. That's like how humans take in information, right? And like encode it more deeply is through story. And I'm just thinking, listening to you, like I can see that that's like something you prioritize like with external facing companies. And I also, just the way you're talking about your own company is like the level of like humility and self-reflection you have, and then ability to talk about it without like being embarrassed or shameful or something, which I think a lot of leaders do because they don't want to be vulnerable because they see it as weakness versus seeing it as an opportunity for people to actually relate and connect more deeply and then understand the identity of the company better and get on board of what like what needs to happen here to like get in whatever direction you need to go.
100%.
I know we're coming to the end of time, and like I just, it's fun talking with you because we're in sort of these like parallel spaces. You're also like growing this company. You're further along than we are. So I'm sort of looking up to you as sort of like a founder, friend, mentor person, and just be like, how'd you do this? And how are you thinking about this? And also what's really cool for me is that you have a service and a tech component. And so, you know, I'm just, and so do we. So like, just curious, we don't have time to talk about today for that, but love all that. But as we're ending, like what's on your mind? Anything I didn't ask you about that you want to share, or anything that you really excites you, or anything you're reading that, you know, would be helpful? Or
no, I mean, I think, you know, the question that we spend the most time looking at is, you know, AI's impact on, you know, our clients, our company. You know, I get hit probably 15 times a day by, you know, these, first off, it's always like AI generated cold outbound, oftentimes selling AI. And so it's like this like loop of just despair where it's just like, you know, I'm getting hit up by someone using AI to research me, selling me AI tools and telling me how it's going to like solve all our problems and adding new clients or this or that. And, you know, I think what we've determined is obviously, you know, technology is coming, it's evolving. It's going to be, you know, a huge impact over the next 5-10 years. At the same time, it's not there yet. And so it's just kind of reconciling it all has been a challenge. I think where I'm most encouraged is it's, you know, we've been able to adopt some things internally for much more from like an operational or a support perspective, mm-hmm. you know, putting out proposals, writing, you know, being able to create customized decks because we want to, even though Hirewell comes across very generalist on the outside, we've got some very deep expertise in specific functions or industries. And how do we show that experience quickly? And we, you know, use some tools to do that, you know, proud of kind of what our team has done. So, you know, so that's been exciting. But like I said, that, you know, the hype versus the reality is just a challenge. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And you know, there have been plenty of trends, you know, from the dot-com days of 20 plus years ago to, you know, the advent of mobile and you know, then there's like now, you know, now in the days of AI, and obviously there will be some major companies that come out of it. But I think what will be the answer is how, you know, kind of just traditional companies incorporate it, embed it, and then use it to thrive, because that'll be what, you know, that kind of creates the winners and losers.
Yeah, I agree totally. And just thinking like with industries that you're in and I'm in, it's like when you're, it's all relational, like it's a relational match. And like, who's really going to trust a computer to do that for them? There's so many things we don't even understand from humans that aren't quantifiable, yeah. That definitely cannot be quantified by like human dynamics in the right way. So there's ways, at least we're thinking about this on the group side, to support our work or do behavioral nudges to have people understand each other and to assess team dynamics in a different way. But the actual work of it really still needs to be human, because it's a human problem. And you're in kind of in the same, it's a relational match, which is a human problem.
Yep.
No. And so like you need a human to deal with that part of it. And there's ways that tech and AI can support you as a human to do that like more efficiently. It's really how we're thinking about it.
Yeah, completely.
Anyway, you're awesome, Matt. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. And I just appreciate you being here.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me, Bobby. It was definitely a fun conversation.
Great.